Acts chapter 13, and we're going to look at some scriptures over there about what it means to be a base church. So we know, if we look at Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3, that Jesus plants lampstands in the darkness. So this church 40 years ago next year was planted of the Lord with willing people. But the whole idea of planting the church was not to create a group of people or get a group of people together and kind of keep them comfortable. It was to use this base to reach into the nation and nations. What we've seen over here now is what God wants us to do in the city. That's why we're in Joburg. It's to see Joburg impacted. But God in his love for us and his plan for us has said, I want you to take it to the rest of the city, the rest of the nation, and the nations of the world. So what we're going to look at is the pattern we see in the book of Acts, but then how does this impact us as individuals? You know, when we see the church doing something, that's us. When you see the gospel going out, that's us. When you see the miracles happening, that's us that God impacts so that we can do that. Remember, we are reading the scriptures. We're working through the book of Acts so that we can understand what God did by the Holy Spirit there, he would want to do again with us, because Jesus is building the church, right? So in Acts chapter 12, verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing them with them John, whose name was Mark. They'd taken the offering for the famine that was happening in Jerusalem. And now they come back, and they come back with John Mark. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manahain, a lifelong friend of the Tetrarch, of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord, isn't it interesting? It's a picture of local church while they were worshiping. In other words, local church is called to worship. And what happens in worship is not, I wish they'd sing my song, you know, or I'm bored, or I wish that holy smoke would stop, or, you know, they'll switch the lights off somebody. Actually, no, let's just focus on the Lord, because while we worship, things are going to happen. And it did. It happened today. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, another form of worship and making ourselves available to the King, the Holy Spirit said, so God does speak. And he wants to speak. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Interesting, the partnership we see. The Spirit of God speaks, set aside Paul and Barnabas. The local church lays their hands on them. And then it says in verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Partnership between us and the Holy Spirit. Us and God is that he's got plans for us. And through prayer and fasting, we get to understand through consecrating ourselves, through separating ourselves, we can begin to understand what he's saying to us. And then we lay our hands on them. He sends them out by the Spirit. And they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. They left that local church for 18 months to go and take the gospel to Galatia. That's how important nations and unreached people are to the Lord, for 18 months. And it says, when they came back, the church greeted them. They told the church what had happened. In other words, after 18 months, the church was still there. Just let that sink in. So the church was not built around Paul and Barnabas, the rock stars of the day, the preaching rock stars. The church was built around Jesus Christ and the team that was there. And so they were able to sustain a great amount of time with Paul and Barnabas out. Paul and Barnabas left. If you were in that meeting, and I'm sure I actually thought about this, I would have thought, I think you guys have missed it. How can you send Paul and Barnabas out? Church was planted, I think, in 45 or 55 AD, and 10 years later, this took place. So for 10 years they'd grown. We know they'd had a season of Barnabas ministering and Paul teaching. You know, that church for me would be the biggest in town because of those two amazing gifts, the encourager, the teacher, the apostle. And so when it comes time to send, let's look for somebody less important and send them out, because we can't afford that this church fall apart. But you see, that's the wrong thinking. We send who God says we should send, who anoints for the job, Paul and Barnabas. And the church carries on, because we don't build the church. Jesus builds the church. We work with him. We preach the gospel. We go out. We obey what he's calling us to do. So this is the kind of church that we have said as elders we want to emulate. We want to copy this kind of church. A church where God is able to speak, people are able to go. And you know our favorite joke is we have sent our best. For 22 years, Adele have led this eldership, and we've sent our best all over the world to plant and to do things. And we've have to come to terms that we remain here because we're the rest. We're not the best. And shame. Deal with the insecurity, eh? No, but sometimes you need the best to stay as well. All according to the Word of God. So let's just quickly. This is a base church. A base church is led of the Holy Spirit. That is the issue. Is sometimes in church, the elders or the leaders or some people are so full of themselves that it's all about me and my show. But unapologetically, in case you don't know, this church is led by the Holy Spirit. And we will continue to allow him to do what he wants to do. Sure, if we'd kept all the plants, maybe 10 or 12 into Joburg, we could have been 10,000 strong. But God never called us to do that. He called us to preach the gospel and to take the gospel out. And so we are led of the Spirit. Number two, the church at Antioch was a church of diverse gifting, ethnicity, and culture. That's the church. They never aimed at that. That's the church that Jesus builds. Jesus builds a church without bias, and Jesus builds a church with different gifting. Notice there were prophets and there were teachers. We know Paul was an apostle. We know there were pastoral gifts over there. There must have been evangelistic gifts, because earlier on it said they went out into the streets and they got people saved. And when you work through those leaders there, some were from Africa, some were from here, some were from there. They were all over the place. And so, wonderful picture. And so I want to encourage us. There's room for every single one of us to get involved with what God is doing. Because he's about every tongue, every tribe, every nation, and every gift operating. Third thing is the church at Antioch was a worshiping and praying church. We never stop praying and we never stop worshiping. And the whole object of worshiping, like with Isaiah and other kind of times we see it in Scripture, is we want to make ourselves available to God and say, what are you saying, Lord? What do you want? And at times, just to delight ourselves in his presence. And we don't stop praying. Wednesday, we had an outstanding prayer meeting here at Bedford View. And why do we have prayer? It's because we want to remind God of the things he's promised. And we want to challenge the status quo in our own hearts. And we want to pray ahead into the rest of Joburg so we can see more places where this gospel can go out. Prayer is saying, actually, you know what? It is all about you, Lord. And so we will continue with that. And then the fourth point is the church at Antioch was a sending church. A sending church. You see, there are different models. There's ways, well, let's us build a church that is big and powerful and influential, or let us make ourselves available to what God's saying. And if he said it to the church at Antioch, he wanted it to happen with Jerusalem. They never, so he sent persecution their way and the gospel did go out. Antioch now is an improvement on Jerusalem. They heard God. We want to hear God and continue to send. Today we sit here as a couple whose son has been sent into the nations. It would be far easier to say to him, you never heard God, because we want those grandchildren close to us, right? And her daughter. That's right. But this is what we're committed to, is to send. And you know what? We send to the neighborhood. We send to the park. We send everywhere, including to the nations. And then lastly, the church at Antioch was a generous, resourcing church. You had to say, yes, Lord. And you know, when they sent Paul and Barnabas on their way, I would think they bought their boat ticket, if that's what you did. I don't know if they had boat tickets. I don't know how you did it there. You swapped a bit of gold, or you said, you know, I'd clean the deck or whatever. But they went on their way. They were resourced. That church earlier had resourced the poverty issues or the famine issues in Jerusalem. And this church, I want to commend you. You're a resourcing church. You're a generous people. And don't stop that, because those kind of hearts go for making this kingdom extend and grow. And so today, when you look at that map over there and you see those kind of gold stickers, we've had the privilege of partnering with others in seeing the gospel go out. And you know what? There's a favorite song that Kim likes singing. It is, "We ain't seen nothing yet compared to what God has got for us. There are just so many doors." So I want to end with this, because we've got to end with this. It's all good and well knowing all of that, but I want to end with this. What God did there in Antioch, He wants to do with every church. I believe He calls every single church to be a base church. And some churches will operate as a base church, maybe in that way, with that kind of influence, and others with bigger influence, and others with different influence. But every church, it's His desire to use them in that way, to use them apostolically, to send out. And it's not dependent on my measures of resourcefulness, or when our bank balance gets to that, or when we got enough people, or when we got enough good people, or when we got enough whatever. It's actually obedience to God. We never send a church plant out or reach another part of the city with a site when we have enough money. This local church is always 2 weeks away from bankruptcy, because we never make a decision because we have money or we don't have money. We make a decision because God said it. And then the provision comes. You know what? Vision, then provision. Provision follows vision. That's how it works. And so I want to encourage us in the same way. Don't put when my kids are past matric, or when I've got 2 fridges and 16 whatever, or when I got a boat, or when I got this, or when I paid off this. No, make ourselves available to Him now. What God does with the church needs to come from a willingness in each individual heart. And I want to end with that. Am I filled with and led by the Holy Spirit? These are questions we need to ask ourselves as we read that passage of Scripture. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit? Are you? Who's making the big calls in your life? Who's making the money? The boss? And I don't mean your wife when I say the boss. I mean, you know, some kind of other authority over there. Or has God got you? I'm led of the Spirit. Second one is, am I one who loves all nations? And God's saying that to us a lot of times. Every ethnic group, every nation. You know, or will it be like Jonah, when God says to you, go there, Nineveh, and you say, not me. Just remember where that ends up. And yeah, in South Africa or in Joburg, you're going to end up in a barbel stomach. There it might have been in a whale. But the only thing that we have that could swallow you are those barbel at the dam. And they are vicious. Next one is, am I a worshiper and a prayer? You need to be. Am I apostolic in my personal capacity? Or is it just all about me? How's your neighbor? How's your friend? How's your work colleague? I feel God's challenging us with that. You see, often we kind of say, well, when He speaks to me like Paul and Barnabas, then I'll go. I've got good news for us. The Scriptures have said, go into all the world. The Scriptures have said, be fishers of men. The Scriptures have said, freely you have received, freely give. You've got the gospel, give the gospel. Am I willing to go? And then lastly, am I generous in my giving into the apostolic vision? Every now and again, you'll hear a call. Church has been planted. We're really trusting God for resources. A site is going to be opened, whatever. Trips are going out. You know, there's no headquarters that we phone and we get a budget to work with. Every single step we take is by faith. And you know, sometimes I think we could miss out on a great opportunity to give into these things. Because if you can't go, at least let your money go. And allow your money to be apostolic. But you know what? If your heart's not apostolic, your money's not going to be apostolic. Because it takes huge amounts of resources for this to happen. It's interesting, when Paul later writes to the Romans, he says, you know, guys, I can't wait to come to you on my way to Spain. So it's not even like Rome is his end destination. Spain is, but on the way, I'm going to drop in. And you know what? I'm going to give you the privilege of getting me to Spain. You think, what manipulation is that? Like, they got to pay for his airfare to Spain. But I think this is apostolic Christianity. We all share in this vision. And I tell you, you watch where your finance goes. That's where your vision is. Where your finance goes means that's the important things in our lives. I want to encourage you. Make yourself available. Make your prayers available. Make your encouragement available. And then make the resourcing that you have available. Because there's a world that we need to reach. And we just have this one shot to do it. Can we?